Welcome to At the Organ.
Hello, I'm Brent Johnson. Thank you for joining me today. You're no doubt aware that At the Organ has been on a hiatus yet again. We just haven't had the resources, the money, time, or volunteers to put this show together at the level that we think it should be. So I apologize for that. We have been busy with some other projects this year, which leads me to something else I need to apologize for. I made some unfulfilled promises when I last talked to you. So for that, I'm sorry. And to make up for it, I'm going to be creating a series of episodes called What I Did This Summer. Just as we left off our last discussion with organ builder Christopher Sower, I mentioned that we were going to be making some videos for the Organ Media YouTube channel, and we did. We started out with churches that I already had some reason to visit, whether it was to fix or tune the organ, doing something with the AGO, or making a recording. As long as I was there, I thought, let's make a video about the organ. Then that led to different people getting in touch with me to suggest organs that were particularly fascinating or came with a good story, so we branched out a bit and visited a few of those. Then, in July, we got to drive all the way to Philadelphia to bring sights and sounds of the AGO's pipe organ encounter to YouTube. This was done with the help of the Associated Pipe Organ Builders of America. That's a group we talked about in episode 150 in April of 2017. We had hoped to go to more than one POE, but issues with the various hosting chapters meant we only worked out the details for the Philadelphia trip. But it was a great trip, and we got a lot of great video content. It hasn't even all gone online yet. However, I hate to have done all of that at the cost of At the Organ episodes. It's really not fair for those who can't enjoy the videos fully, like my friend Chris, who doesn't have great vision, but he listens to this podcast. So to make up for that, I'll be bringing you bits of audio from these video production sessions, and hopefully you can enjoy them all here, too. So here is part one of What I Did This Summer. The Church of Saint Trinity is a Lutheran congregation in the Carondelet neighborhood of St. Louis, originally founded by German immigrants in 1859. Their building dates from 1872, and the name was intended to be Holy Trinity, or Sanctus Trinitatus in Latin, and somewhere the translation turned it into Saint Trinity. In the rear gallery of the church stands a Kilgan organ that was installed in 1903. In March of this year, the St. Louis AGO chapter visited this organ on an organ crawl, and Dr. William Sullivan gave us some history and played the organ for us. The following week, he did it again for me and our cameras. The church doesn't have an organist on staff anymore, but Dr. Sullivan, along with some other local organists, take turns filling in for special services. The organ of St. Trinity has two manuals and 19 ranks.
Hi, I'm here at St. Trinity Lutheran Church in the Carondelet neighborhood in South St. Louis. With me is Dr. William Sullivan, who is one of the organists who plays here on occasion. The instrument is a 1903 Kilgan, built here in St. Louis, and it is all mechanical action, and it has only been altered a little bit since its original talk. We have some little chime keyboard for some electronic chimes, namely. We'll talk about that. There's one stop that was changed over from its original specification. But let's look and see what we've got in here. Bill, fire up the organ for me. Show me how it works.
Okay. Love that sound.
So this instrument was originally hand pumped because it was built before the building was electrified. In fact, there is still a bellows signal knob to signal the choir boy or whoever was pumping the organ over on the side. But we have an electric blower now. So we have a total of 19 ranks. Is that what we decided?
That's what we decided. It's often reported as 20 ranks. It was reported as such in the OHS database, but there actually is 19 ranks.
Okay, well, we'll see if we can get in there and count that.
Are 19
well.
Ranks.
All right. Well, let's start with, show me what we've got here. Jump up there.
Okay.
So we have three divisions here, swell, grate, and pedal. Let's start with the swell. What have we got in that swell box?
Okay, the swell, it's a very typical Kilgan swell that it has a number of 8-foot stops of different timbre and color that are built around the 8-foot Geigen principle. Rather unusual oboe gamba, which is actually a labial stop. Just has a little more of a horn like tone.
It's essentially a string stop, but it's you could use it as a in place of an oboe almost.
Exactly. And the ubiquitous stop to dive pace, which is harmonic flute, which makes an excellent foil to the eight-foot flute. And the four-foot violino sort of acts as a surrogate principle for the eight-foot diapason, but also sounds equally appropriate when added to the eight-foot solution or to the overground.
So if you've got quite,
two-foot.
Yeah, quite a number of ensemble options there.
So the swell is, the swells from this period are never large and powerful, but do add a very nice foil to the group.
Hey, you've got 4, 5, 6, 7 ranks there in the swell.
There is a tremolo that's a bit fast. It's cold weather here, and but it's a bit fast, I think, even in warm weather.
So we have 7 ranks there in the swell, and it makes for a nice full ensemble, but it's not super loud by any means. It fits nice in the room. Over here on the great side, we have 10 ranks. Show us what we've got here. We start with an 8-foot diapason.
We have a 8-foot diapason, again, expected.
Diapason. It's got a big, broad tone. It's not real edgy like a principal might be.
Yes, it's, you know, again, remembering George Kilgan's background, coming from Bavaria and having apprenticed with Voigt in Bavaria, there's the obvious South German influence. But then, remember, he also worked when he immigrated to the United States, he worked for Jardine. So he had an exposure to English influence as well. So what we find with Kilgan often is something between the German, the South German, and the English influence that would have been typical of the early 19th century to mid 19th century.
So
principal ensemble for this for Kilgan's practice at this time that goes from 8-foot all the way to mixture. So we have a 4-foot octave, and we have a 2-foot super octave. And it's rather bright. And we have a 3-rank mixture. That would not have been unusual.
Now here's a question. We know this instrument was altered a bit, addition of the stop, since its original construction in 1903. What are the chances that that mixture still sounds today like it did then, do you think?
Well, Brent, that is a good question. And we really can't be sure, because the historical instrument is it's a product of everyone who has tuned it and maintained it over the years. In addition, it's a product to chemical and physical changes in the pipe metal itself.
Because to my ear, compared with that big fluty diapason, this sounds a lot brighter than I would expect.
I'm suspicious of it. I would think that maybe it had been brightened at some point, that would have not been unusual.
Right. to make contrapuntal music a little more appropriate to the ear. So, well, either way, it's still effective and it still works well, and who knows how loud it actually sounds down there. We're sitting right next to it. So that's our principal chorus. What else have we got in this division?
Well, there's a very nice gamba, again, typical of the period, and you might hear a little bit of ciphering there.
Not bad.
The slider may be just a little out of adjustment. It makes a very nice addition to the grate, especially with the melodia.
It's so different when you put them together.
And there's that sound that is called for so often in music of the period of this instrument, is that 8-foot flute with an 8-foot string in the grate.
It almost sounds like a principal, but it's not quite as big when you combine those.
Exactly, and it makes a fairly nice solo stop as well.
And it cuts a little more than maybe the 8-foot melodeon would.
Exactly.
Those flutes.
And there's a 4-foot flute d'amour that is listed. It just makes a very nice octave flute for the great melodia. And then we have an addition from the early 1990s, trumpet. This replaced a 16-foot Borden.
It was a 16-foot manual Borden.
There was a 16-foot manual Borden.
You can tell they didn't even try to get the engraving.
And this immediately raises your suspicions when you see a modern stop label like that.
And it's not unuseful. I mean, it's your wedding processional trumpet and having a great read on the trumpet.
And again, you know, since this is a working church, it's not a museum, it shouldn't be unexpected that changes are made for practical reasons, that perhaps just have for weddings or for other types of music, that at some point was decided we really need a coarse reed. There were no reeds in this organ. As far as taking a stop out to add a stop, perhaps the jury is still out on that.
I can imagine having a trumpet to cap the ensemble was probably more favorable in the 20th century than having that 60-foot
bass.
Either one is going to help build up the ensemble of the instrument, but I understand why this was done. It's sad to see changes to old instruments like this.
And to accommodate it, they had to change the valve ratio in the regulator.
Oh, really?
Yes. There were some wind changes made, I presume, to make sure that there was sufficient air to activate the trumpet so it wouldn't be sound late.
Right. And then down here on the bottom we have two pedal stops, 16 and an 8. They're just Borden flutes.
There's your 16.
Pretty typical. And then is the 8-foot a stop flute as well?
It's marked bass flute,
open.
But it sounds like an open
flute.
So which makes a sufficient bass for the music that would typically have been played on this instrument at the time.
So let's play along with it a little bit. I'm interested in that oboe over there in the swell, that fake labial oboe. How much of a solo voice could you make of that if you put it against, say, the great flute?
Well, let's see here.
So it worked. You're not going to fool anybody into thinking that's an actual oboe, but it does stick out above the edge. And then, I want to hear, let's see, let's do the great gamba as a solo voice against something in there. You did that a minute ago.
Here we go.
Against the flutes. So we have flute against flute. Okay, it works. It's not as bright as the. So you can actually have both of them. Nice big solo sound.
Or in the tenor range, you have some.
Yeah, it cuts through. something else.
There we go.
There we go. It's not a huge instrument. It's really well designed and well thought out,
yes,
and gives you a lot of options. And I can understand that maybe somebody counted this as a rank, and that's how the OHS got 20, or our bellow signal, which unfortunately doesn't work anymore, but there's no bellow signal anymore to deal with. And this also has some couplers over there, so we can couple,
yes,
the grate and swell both down to the pedal.
There's a grate to pedal coupler activated by a draw knob and also by a reversible pedal. It squeaks a little bit. So this will couple the grate. And the swell to pedal coupler is not activated by a reversible pedal, only by the draw knob. Let's see if we can get some sound. Is a little bit out of adjustment, so you,
oh, yeah,
you get a little bit of interesting
changes in weather can affect these instruments. Yeah. So let's talk about these pedals. So one sign that some modifications have probably been made, we have three toe spoons down there, and there's two tabs up here that say forte and piano.
Yes.
But that's not what those actually do, is that correct?
No. Actually, the forte is this one, and the piano is this one, and at least right now it is. I don't know what if this was actually true when the organ was built. The forte pedal adds all the grate stops. I'll demonstrate every one of them, including the gamba. So you and when you press it again, nothing happens. So it's not clear whether that was originally meant to be a reversible or if this has been jury-rigged somehow, you know, at some later time in history. The piano pedal, if I activate the forte pedal, all the stops were on, I activate the piano pedal, it takes off the trumpet, the open diapason, and the mixture, which is rather curious. And I wonder if the composition of these, if you will, presets were actually altered at some point.
One of the reasons we're here, the St. Louis AGO came here a few weeks ago as part of an organ crawl, and we showed off this instrument, and you played for them, and then I was able to record you playing a work by Volkmar, who's a German composer.
Yes.
Tell me how you came to pick that piece.
Well, I was looking for something that would have been known at the mid-19th century, that perhaps George Kilgan would have known who Volkmar was. And something that, a piece from the repertory of the, as it were, the lesser lights of the 19th century that would have been likely to have been played here, given the German-American tradition of this church. It was built by German immigrants. They had the services here were auf Deutsch for many years until the years around and shortly after World War I. So I chose that piece, and Volkmar, in that little sonata that I played, treated two German and Bavarian national folk songs, one of which was the Bavarian national anthem for a time when Bavaria was striving for independence. And we know that piece now as the melody of God Save the King, or America. So I picked it as what I believed would have been a fitting tribute to the German Americans that came here, settled here, built this church, added great significance to our local community.
So now here on that organ are all three movements. We only put one on the video, but I'll play all three of them for you today. Of the Sonata in C Minor, Opus 371, by Wilhelm Valentin Volkmar. The three movements are Andante Allegro Moderato, and then Andante Con Moto, and the third is Allegro Moderato.
Thank you.
So that was Bill Sullivan playing the Sonata in C minor, Opus 371 by Volkmar, on the 1903 Kilgan organ at St. Trinity Church in South St. Louis. If you would like to see the actual video we were making, I'll have it embedded on the post for this show at attheorgan.com. It includes some looks inside the organ. It don't make for great podcast material. I'll also put a link to the specification and some photos of the organ. It's the beginning of what I did this summer. Next time we go to Elsa, Illinois, home of Principia College, to see another two-manual mechanical action organ, this one built in 1992 by Martin Ott. Dr. Rose Whitmore, a music professor at the college, joins me for that one. Can I ask you a favor? If you like what we do, and even if you prefer podcasts to videos, it would be a big help if you could go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our channel has provided a small trickle of revenue over the years, but earlier this year, the folks who run the website upped the numbers you need, and that small stream of pennies dried up. With the latest round of videos, we have a lot more viewers and can potentially reap a larger reward, but we need to reach 1,000 subscribers on our channel before they'll open the floodgates for us. It doesn't cost you anything, and there's a link on those there's a link to do it on this post at attheorgan.com. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you want streaming organ music 24 hours a day, just tune into one of our three stations, organlive.com, Positively Baroque, and The Organ Experience. And if you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution to the nonprofit Organ Media Foundation, you can do that online at organ.media. I'm Brent Johnson, and I'll meet you here next time at The Organ.
You've been listening to At the Organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening.